21, throughout Isaiah, and even in every book of the Old Testament, I think the case could clearly be made of a Messiah and a coming of a Savior to rescue man from sin, from disobedience. People say, well, why do I need a Savior? Because of sin. Because of disobedience to a living God. Here's the situation in the world we live in today. The reason we do not recognize our need for a Savior is we do not recognize sin. If you do not recognize sin, why would you need a Savior? Saved from what? People ask. If you cannot recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no, not one. We need a Savior because of indwelling sin that we inherited from Adam and his disobedience as the federal head of all mankind. So we have a Savior that comes into the world. If you go to the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, and I'm going from memory here this morning, but the Bible says, lo, I come, speaking of Jesus, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O Lord. It is written in the volume of the book of Jesus Christ to come and do the will of God. Well, what is that will? The will of God is your salvation through Jesus Christ that can only be accomplished by his work, by his finished work upon the cross. And that's why he says in Romans chapter number 8, where I was just a moment ago, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, my flesh. The law is weak because of me. You know what that means? I can't keep the law. I've lied, I've cheated, I've stolen, and you have too. We've all disobeyed God. The law is weak because of our own flesh. So here's what God did in verse number 3. God sending his own son, he writes in verse 3. God sending his own son for salvation. I am the one that was weak according to the flesh. I am the one that has disobeyed God. I am the one that has sinned against God. But God is the one that will remedy this situation. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in his incarnation, in his humanity. Here's the deal. If we had needed a doctor, God would have sent a doctor. If we had needed any other person, God would have sent that. We needed a Savior, and this Savior could not be just anyone. He had to be human because it was man that he was redeeming. And so he sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And then what he says here in verse number 4 is probably one of my top 5 verses in all the Bible. In verse number 4 of Romans 8, he says this, that. So God sent his son for a purpose. He sent his son to accomplish a plan. He sent his son to redeem man. He says this, that the righteousness of the law. Now, does that sound familiar? We just read about what the law could not do because of my sinful flesh. He says, God then sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, he says. And then he says in verse number 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. And look at this word here, one little two-letter word that in my opinion says it all. That the righteousness in the law of the law might be fulfilled in us. In us. He didn't say by us. He says in us. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. In other words, God is going to do amazing work where he is literally going to make the greatest transaction that has ever taken place. He is going to take my sin and put it on Christ, who is innocent. And he is going to take his righteousness and put it on me, who is guilty. And the righteousness of the law will be fulfilled in us by the work of Christ. And he continues on in other portions of Scripture where he talks about what Christ has done. Go to Romans chapter number 5. He says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then back to Romans 8:1, where he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." All these things have been accomplished by Christ. And then another, one of my favorite passages, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, he says, "For by grace, how has God done all this? Surely there's something he liked about me," right? Here's what he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Why and how has God accomplished all these marvelous works? He's accomplished them by his grace. He's done it not based upon who I am, but based upon who he is. "For by grace I am saved." You know what grace means? It's God's unmerited favor bestowed upon me because of the work of Jesus Christ. And you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. Everything I have in him is on the basis of Jesus. That's why we love to sing songs about Jesus, because what I have is come from him. The forgiveness I have is because of Jesus Christ. The home in heaven I have is because of Jesus Christ. The reason that I have no condemnation before God is because of Jesus Christ. And it's all been given to me by grace. God has given me what I do not deserve. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. And let me tell you something else. You can't pay it back. Grace isn't grace if you try to pay it back. It's grace because he's given to you without a cause. So for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Do you want to see how serious sin is? Look at the cross. That's how serious sin is. It took Christ, the Son of God, to come pay for sin. You want to see how great the love of God is? Look to the cross. You want to see the extent of his forgiveness? Look at the cross. All these things are done through the cross by the grace of God. So we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by Christ. All that I have and all that you have this day are because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For by one man sin entered into the world, and so also by one righteousness will come to many." Everything as a Christian is because of Jesus Christ. Do you love Christ? Do you know the glory of what he has done? Do you recognize that because of him, you have all things that have come to you from the Father through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? And one of my favorite things that I remind myself of sometimes daily is this. I can't get too far from my microphone here. That I remind myself daily is that this, is this truth. When God looks at me, who has come to him by faith in Jesus Christ, he doesn't see me any longer. He sees his Son. You are forgiven of your sins because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are viewed in Christ. The Bible says we are in union with him. He has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. All these things have been accomplished through Christ. The Bible says that he hath made him, I love this verse, I've quoted it before, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of him, of God in him. I have been forgiven because of Jesus Christ. I ask you this today. Do you recognize that what you have is because of him? Do you recognize your forgiveness is because of Jesus Christ? Do you recognize who you are in Jesus Christ? Do you know that your sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ? So when we sing songs of Christ, may every voice in this room lift towards heaven in praise for what Christ has done. We have nothing without him. Could you imagine trying to earn our salvation. It's impossible. It's not by works of righteousness, Titus says. But he saved us by words, by his mercy. So this whole plan of God was all pointing towards one person and one event. And then we're going to celebrate this month that Jesus Christ will not only die on the cross, but then 3 days later, he will conquer death. And so that's why the resurrection, I'm giving away my whole Easter sermon, all right? That's why the resurrection is so important. Because if Jesus could not have come out of the grave, then he was not showing he had victory over death, which is what he came to defeat. And so when he came and died on the cross, not only did he die, don't leave him in the grave, he rose on the third day, and when he walked out of there on the third day, he was indicating that he had defeated man's greatest foe, which was death. And that's why he could say with such confidence, or Paul could say with such confidence, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's why Jesus could say, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, because he has power over death itself, because he conquered sin upon that cross. And so as we come into this Easter time, or this resurrection time, we're reminded of the greatness and the glory of Jesus Christ for all that he has done. That even though sin came into the world through Adam, righteousness has come through the Lord Jesus Christ in his work. And so may our minds be focused on him. And so we'll start this morning helping us focus our mind upon him by celebrating what we call the Lord's Supper. As we're reminded in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we're reminded of the body of Christ, which is represented by the bread, and the blood of Christ that was shed, for the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and the blood of Christ, which is represented by the cup this morning. And it's a great way to kind of get our minds right as we come into this resurrection time where we are thinking of the glory of Christ, and to get our minds on him and worshiping him and praising him for all that he has done. I love the first song we sang this morning, Bethany. I love the I think it's the first verse that says, "Be thou my vision," and then it goes on. I won't sing because I've tried that before. It didn't go so well. But then it says this, "My best thought by day or by night." Oh, I love that line. Lord, I want you to be my vision, because you, Lord, you are the best thought I've had all day or all night. That's how great Jesus is. That's how great his salvation is. That's how complete our sins have been forgiven. That when we think of him, he's the best thought we've had all day. When's the last time you thought of Christ like that? When's the last time when you were working or walking or doing something and you thought of Jesus and you paused and said, That's the best thought I've had all day, is about what Jesus did for me. You are the Lord. You are the King. And did you know when you leave this earth, which all of us will, there'll be a time, the Bible says, that it's appointed unto man once to die. We all die. And whether you will spend eternity in heaven or whether you will spend eternity in hell is based upon whether you have put your trust and accepted the grace of God as you, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior, and put your faith and trust in him. I told you this was not the sermon I had, so we're all over the place this morning. But listen, hell's a real place. You don't want to go there. There's a story of a man that was a scientist. Trapped to this pulpit, I'm telling you. There's a story of a man that was a scientist, and he invented a substance that when it would get near water, it would bust into flames. And he had a party one night, and all his friends came over, and he was telling them about this new substance that he had been working with. And his friend said, "Hey, show us how it works." And he said, "Okay." And so He filled the sink of his kitchen with water, and he took a little, just a little drop of this substance, and he threw it in the sink. Just blew, you know. Oh man, everyone's like, that's awesome, that's amazing. Show us again. True story, it was a party, and so he had been doing some things he probably shouldn't have done that evening, and as he went to show his friends again, he tripped and dropped the vial into the sink. It exploded in the kitchen sink. The glass from the vial went into his skin and went into his body. The substance went into his skin. And remember, the substance was made to cause reaction when it got near liquid, and so they rushed him to the hospital, and he laid there in the hospital, and as he would sweat, it's a terrible story, I'm sorry, but he would sweat on the bed, there would be little explosions among his skin. And as he laid there and died in the hospital, he yelled these words, "I'm in hell," he said. "I'm in hell. I'm in hell," he kept screaming there in the hospital. "I'm in hell, I'm in hell." And with those words, he died. Friends, you don't want to go to hell. When there's grace that's available through Jesus Christ, when God has sent his only Son to pay for your sin and forgive you, you know, even so much, God wants you to be saved so bad, he says that there's rejoicing in heaven when someone comes to salvation. That's how marvelous it is. Did you know? I used to hear all the time, people would say, "Oh, if I go into church, the roof will fall in." Did you know that's the exact opposite? That God rejoices when you come to his Son. He rejoices when you accept his plan of salvation through grace, by faith. Why would you go to hell? The rich man and Lazarus, remember the rich man? He was comforted his whole life. Lazarus was tormented, having hunger and starvation a lot of his life. Well, they both died. The rich man found himself in hell. He even tried to get people to go back and tell his family to not come. He said, "I'm in torment day and night." I remember when I was saved, I remember I heard a message on hell, and I thought, why in the world would I want to go there? I don't want to be in hell. I want to be in heaven with Christ. I want my sins to be forgiven. And then I called upon Christ to save me and forgive me of my sins. The Bible says, "Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Jesus came. There's no doubt that he was here. There's no doubt what he has done. There's no doubt that you need him today for your Savior if you have never trusted in him. You must call upon him. I've heard it said this way by an old Puritan writer. He said this. He said, "If you won't weep for your sins, I will weep for you." It's important. This is life and death. In New Mexico, when I was an assistant pastor, there was a man came one day to fix the furnace in the church, First Baptist Church, Edgewood, New Mexico. I was the only one at the church. And the Lord said, "Josh, witness to him." Oh, I was busy. I said, "Oh, Lord, I'll talk to him later." Well, he came in the church. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. A couple weeks later, I was out witnessing in a neighborhood, and I knocked on a door, and a lady answered. She said, "You know my son." I said, "Well, I don't remember knowing him." And she said, "Well, he did heat and AC at your church in Edgewood." I said, "Oh yeah, I remember him. He's a nice man." I said, "How's he doing?" She said, "He's dead." I said, "You're kidding." So what happened? She said he was carrying a AC pipe into a building, and he had a brain aneurysm, and he died. He never knew the Lord. There's no one going to walk in this church that I don't witness to. I can promise you that. After that, but friends, you never know. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when you're going to meet the Lord. And here we have a God, a Savior, who has given his life to forgive you of your sins. Here we have a Savior that, as we heard quoted, that became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, so I could be forgiven of my sins, so I can go to heaven. And this is what we say. We say no. We say no to the grace of God. We say, I don't need you, or I don't recognize how important it is. We reject the God. We do the same thing that Adam and Eve did in the garden. We run, we hide, we go away from God. When God has come to seek and to save those which were lost, my friend, you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can save. Only He could give His life. Only He was qualified to forgive sins. Only Jesus could do what needed to be done for Josh Osteen. Only Jesus could do what needed to be done for you. Oh, friend, do you know Him like that? Do you know Him as your Savior? Hey, do you remember a day or a time where you placed your faith and trust in Jesus to forgive you of your sins? There's no one born that doesn't need a Savior. We all need saving through Jesus Christ, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm going to ask Joanna and Bethany to come. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. Before we do that, can I ask you to bow your heads with me for just a moment? We got a few minutes. We still are doing just fine on time, but ask you to bow your heads for just a few moments. I want to ask you the most important question you'll ever answer in your life. You've never been asked a more important question than this. And how you answer this question will determine where you will spend all eternity. In your heart, answer this question. Do you remember a day or a time where you placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus for salvation? Do you remember a day or a time where you placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus for your salvation? If you can say yes, oh, praise the Lord. You've been forgiven of your sins. You have a home in heaven. But if you're here today and you say, Josh, I don't remember ever even knowing why I needed a Savior. I don't remember ever putting my faith in Jesus. My friend, if you've never put your faith in Christ, you're lost. You have no forgiveness of sin outside of Christ. And I ask you this day, if you have never put your faith in Christ, call upon Him to save you. Call upon Him to forgive you of your sins. I don't think there's any magical words, any certain thing that people say. There's all kinds of different prayers people say. I say you respond to how the Spirit's working in your heart. You respond to the Spirit's calling. You respond to what He is saying to you. If you've never called upon Christ, call upon Him. My dad, who was a missionary for years, was saved in a shower. He just called upon Christ. Changed his whole life. Joanna and Bethany are going to play for a moment. Why don't you take a moment there and search your heart as Joanna and Bethany play a song for us.